You would go ahead and pull out your Bibles if you still have one. And I see Greg reaching for his phone, so I want you to go over to Exodus chapter 12. And what we're going to talk about tonight is the power of the Holy Spirit in meditation. And we want to deal with it in one specific way. And that is because we're on this 21-day fast and seeking of the Lord. And during this time, there's three targets that we're going for. The first target is we want safety. Some people say, I want safety for my little ones and for mine and that I have that God's given to me. And we want safety. The second thing is, then we want a greater measure of God's presence and power. And so that's what we're going for. And then the third target of our 21-day fasting and seeking God is that the enemy will be exposed and stopped. Don't you just want that? Amen. I just want whatever tricks the devil will be trying against you, trying to tie up your life, that it will be exposed and stopped. Well, the Bible says these kind go forth but by prayer and fasting. So I'm laying claim on these three targets being met, aren't you? During these 21 days of seeking God. And so we're going to talk about in the area of the blood, because this week and the 21 days of seeking God, this week we're meditating and we're praying the power of the blood. If you've got a packet, if you're part of that 21-day praying and fasting team, and you got a packet out there this morning, that's the packet all about the blood of Jesus and how to apply the blood, how to plead the blood over situation. But you will never, ever be able to pray anything that you don't have a revelation in. And so if we're going to be able to pray the blood, we've got to have great revelations of the blood. And we got to have a great revelation of the power of that blood. So I just felt this afternoon. I really need to bring this for this 21 days because I just want to start you out. I just want to give you a little boost on the power of meditation during these 21 days. And I want you to really be sure and use this little book. If you're part of our prayer team, then you received one of these little booklets. And these go for 14 days. And this is on the second target. This is for the presence of God. And it's just a very small little devotion. Each day goes 14 days. But it all brings up new patterns, new ways of bringing the presence of God into your life. So if you would, take advantage of those, because we're on a 21-day, we're just not fasting. I mean, we're seeking God. Everybody say, we're seeking God. And I tell you what, and that's where the Lord's dealing with my life. And I just confess before you, I'm not seeking God to near what God's called me to do there. And I'm just planning on getting my life in the right track. I love this intense time, because this intense time gives me time to radically change me. And so when I'm midst of fasting and the midst of praying, man, it's an intense time to change the way I do life. And 21 day, they say 21 days can break any habit. So my wrong habits, where I've left God out of things, then I want to take this 21 days to make sure I can put God back in there. So use this 21 days. Don't let it be a same old, same old. Use the 21 days to radically change ourselves to what God wants us to be. And I'm here, I confess you before you, I don't seek God the inch degree of what God has called me to and the revelation that He's given to me to do that. But I am changing. Somebody say, I am changing. And we are becoming different. And God, by His Holy Spirit, is empowering us. Now, it's so important to know, you'll never pray beyond your revelation. You'll never have faith beyond your revelation. Some people say, I need more faith. You need more revelation. And the Bible says, faith comes here and hearing by the Word of God. But what that means, revelation comes as you study the Word. The more of the Word of God that you put before your eyes and in your ears, the more revelation should come. And out of that revelation comes faith. Because the word there is rhema. Faith doesn't come by hearing and hearing the Logos. It's just not me standing up reading the Logos word to you. But it's me intently seeking God in His Word, That word rhema means God, I hear God, I can speak, God speaks to me in it. And when God speaks to me in it, there is immediate building up of faith in my life. And so that increases my prayer level. And it increases what I can believe God for. So I'm just talking about, now these meditations, now I have a book somewhere on these, but where they have scriptures laid out with them, but I don't have scriptures to these. Some way this little segment got in here. But these came out of my study of my meditation on the blood of Jesus. And I just want to, I don't believe, somebody says, aren't you afraid you'll get into error? No, I don't believe you can out-believe anything about the blood. I believe the blood is the greatest, most powerful, most wonderful thing on planet Earth and in heaven. Because that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is so powerful, I do not believe, I've made this statement for years, I do not believe you can over-believe the blood. I don't believe that you can believe for anything that the blood can't do. I believe the blood is just that powerful. So when I meditate on the blood, I meditate on the blood scriptures. I'm going to, before we close tonight, I'm going to give you out several scriptures on the blood to start so you can start your meditation as you walk on through these rest of these 21 days. But you just take the scriptures relating to the blood and then you just begin, a good way to do it is to download some soaking music. Is that term understandable? And download some music that only has music and that is dedicated to hearing God in, that's been prayed over. Now you can find that out there. It's not hard to find. And get it, that's been prayed over for you to hear God. And then in your quiet meditation times, begin to play that in the background that's been prayed over for you to hear God. And then you begin to take scriptures. And you just begin to gently read those scriptures and allow God to begin to explode those scriptures in your spirit. And if you do that, the power of meditation. Meditation has such power. It releases such faith. Such wonderful things. In fact, meditation is supposed to be one of the Christian's strong disciplines. It's supposed to be one of our major disciplines, just like fasting and prayer. It is to be, according to the Word of God, meditation is to be alongside fasting and praying and meditating. Where I allow the Holy Spirit, somebody say of the Holy Spirit, to where I allow the Holy Spirit to soar in my heart while I'm looking at Scripture. And God will reveal things to you. You know, that's why, if you ever notice Jesus and His response to Scripture, sometimes do a search, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and notice the Scripture. Every word that Jesus spoke, it can be tied into, I used to say almost, but I believe I can say every, was can be tied into Old Testament Scripture. But I used to say almost every Scripture, but I believe every Scripture can be tied. But if you will look at the scriptures He was saying, then go back looking at those scriptures, you say, how did He get that out of that? It wasn't the general understanding of that scripture, what I'm saying. He would take that scriptures that I know that came through His meditation, and He would begin to allow the Holy Spirit to soar in Him. And He would see scriptures in ways that no mortal man had ever seen scripture before. And then He would use them in light of His revelation. That's why when He began to talk about eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, we're all going to leave you. You crazy. You understand? Because it wasn't normal relation to scripture. But the Holy Spirit, through taking Scripture and putting it before your eyes, and just taking that into your soul, as you're meditating on that into your soul, Man, if you will allow the Holy Spirit, man, He'll take that scripture and explode it in so many wonderful ways. All right, in Exodus chapter 12, first verse, it says, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt. Now, this is the basic chapter for praying the blood of Jesus. Now, there's about 100 other verses that associate with it. But this is the basic chapter where you get, because the Passover was the most important celebration that the Jewish people still have. It was the most important time of their year. It was to celebrate Exodus chapter 12. It was the most important, the most celebrated, the more intense. In fact, they were to talk about Exodus chapter 12 every day of their life. They were told to bring up the remembrances of Exodus chapter 12 to their children every day of their life. Because of the power that's in the blood of the Lamb. All right. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. Now, this is an ALT version. Verse 2. From now on, this month will be the first. I tell you what, I just love that. I love that out of the New King James. It said it would be the beginning. I'm going to tell you what the blood of Jesus will do. It will forge brand new beginnings. They said, from this point on, Exodus chapter 12, this is going to be the beginning. The moment that you begin to receive the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus and what God can do in your life in that aspect, it will literally bring a new beginning into your life. It brings great hope. That's what Jack Hayford says it does. It says it brings great hope. The new beginning. It's a brand new beginning. And you can begin to speak forth that in these 21 days. You can begin to say, Lord, as I receive the power of your blood, you're giving me brand new beginnings. I'm going to tell you what, that comes out of meditation. When you hear something like that in meditating, you can speak it and declare it out your mouth. As the Lord brings revelation to you, declaration is a large part of the power of the blood. Okay. All right. Then it says, from now on, this month will be. Verse 3 says, announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each family must choose a lamb. Well, how many have chosen a lamb? Somebody tell me that lamb's name. Somebody shout his name. What's his name? His name is Jesus. We've chosen our lamb. Amen. And the lamb has already been slain. And then it goes on, then it says in verse 7, it says, they are to take some of the blood and they're to smear it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. So literally, the head of the house would literally take that blood of that slain lamb, and they would take that blood and they would apply it over the entrances to their life. And I want to tell you what, there's not an entrance to any of our lives that blood of Jesus can't powerfully, radically bring change in it for the glory of God. Amen. What I want you to do, I want you to see yourself in your prayer closet, wherever that is, and I want you to see yourself, and I envision, I love to pray sitting in a chair. I have a place I sit in the chair, and that's my comfortable chair, but I have a right in front is open space for kneeling on the floor. And I'm constantly in my prayer time going from that chair of sitting to that floor, constantly being drawn back and forth in that. And during that season, as God just begins to, I see myself. I begin to see myself in Exodus chapter 12. And I begin to see myself take that blood of that slain lamb. They literally put that blood in a basin. They were told to take hyssop, which was a bush of that day. And they were to take this hyssop bush and they were to dip it into that blood. It was very important, the reason they told the exact kind, because it had a huge absorbance power. The leaves of a hyssop bush is just like a paintbrush. It would absorb it. It immediately would soak into it. I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that's strong enough to hold the blood of Jesus. and that's your faith. There's only one thing that is strong enough that can absorb that much power, and that's your faith. So literally, you take your faith, you plunge it into that blood every day, and you take that blood and you mark every entrance to your life. And I literally, in my prayer time, I literally see myself doing this. And a lot of times I do this. As I'll begin to pray over one person, I'll begin to literally take the blood that's been absorbed in my faith, which God makes. And because of the gift of intercession, you can tell an intercessor. An intercessor uses every part of their body, because the Bible says that God trains our hands to war. He makes an intercessor is a special calling of prayer where God, and you remember on Robert's tape when he's talking about when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, remember the first thing that he said that happened when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, how he started marching and declaring, he said how crazy they thought he was. See, that's the mark of an intercessor. Because the intercessor does war with their hands. They do wars with their eyes. They do war with their prancing. They do war with their kneeling. They do war with their worship. Where God literally comes in to an intercessor. And that's what the church, I said it Wednesday night talking about this one. That's what the church is desperate for, is intercessors. We will never be the church until God called intercessors take their position in battle on behalf of God's kingdom. But if intercessors will take their positions in battle, then great, great, great things will begin to take place. Amen. But literally, you begin to take that blood, and then you begin to apply it. Now, you will only be able to make application in your applying of that blood. Some people call it pleading the blood. But pleading is not a begging term. Pleading is a legal term. As you stand before a judge, it's a legal term. It's a legal right that you have. And I don't say that. I never have to stand before God and declare my rights, but I have to stand before that lousy devil and dare tell him what my rights are. Amen? So, As you begin to use the blood of Jesus, then you will, but you will never be able to apply it. Now this is me putting blood on you, okay? All right. You'll never be able to apply it any stronger than it, your faith has absorbed the revelation of it. So praying the blood gets stronger all the time, because you're constantly in scriptures relating to the blood of Jesus and the power of that blood and what that blood can do and the radical change that blood can bring, and then your prayer is constantly changing. It's just constantly changing. It constantly is climbing higher heights because your faith is absorbing more of the blood. Of that Jesus. Amen. Now, the Bible says that this, in verse 7, that when they would take that blood and they would apply it over the entrances to their lives, it said that it would have this wonderful effect, and the effect of what it would bring into that home or into that life. What it would do, it would cause the destroyer, I love what the NLT said, it would not allow the destroyer to come in to where that blood is applied. Amen. And destruction, if you will allow your meditation to soar in the Holy Spirit, destruction is far more than a car wreck or an accident or a break or something like that. Destruction can be the enemy opposing your mind, trying to force you into depression and discouragement. Destruction of your mind, destruction of your body, destruction of your family unit, destruction of relationships. You can go on and on and on as you allow the Holy Spirit to absorb most of that blood into your faith, man, your faith will soar and soar and soar and soar, and you would never, ever go higher than that blood is already there. Because the first thing that meditation says, the blood has power in heaven above and has power on earth beneath. The blood has power both places. That's why that it wasn't completed, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead and he said, don't touch me yet. I'm not yet ascended. And then he ascended. We know. He came out of the grave. He led captivity captive, brought those that were captive. They've been there waiting. Abraham and Moses and all those that had been waiting there in Abraham's bosom. He took them and he began to ascend up heaven, but he couldn't be. He asked not to be touched before that happened. Now, he had already done that. He'd already been in there. He'd already been to heaven when he came back and appeared in the upper room with the disciples. Because then he said, now touch me, see. Handle me, see. But what he had to go to heaven for, because the Holy of Holies of heaven, which the earthen tabernacle was only an example of what that was in the heavenly tabernacle. And Jesus had to walk in there with his powerful blood. Can you imagine the power of heaven? I mean, you know, Star Wars, the Holy Grail or whatever it is, you know, that they're trying to. But can you imagine the power of that blood when Jesus walked into that Holy of Holies and poured his blood out there in an eternal power forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's like this huge, if we was watching science fiction, it would be like this huge oracle that could run everything, you know. It would be like, wow, this oracle that runs and empowers everything. Well, that's what the blood is in heaven. The blood is that power flow and as power on earth. And that's demonstrated by, the Bible says, by whose stripes you were healed, and the power of that blood in heading off destruction. So the blood has so much power. It's powerful here on earth, and then it's so powerful in heaven. If you want to talk God's language, you talk blood talk. You never talk any more God's language than blood talk. God understands blood talk. He understands that. Amen. All right, second thing is, as you begin to meditate, it removes the destruction. But not only does it remove the destruction, it brings health into those homes too. In fact, that night, it released such a beginning in their life that for 40 years, sickness and even their shoe leather didn't wear out. Powerful provision. That for 40 years, they never had to plant one stalk of anything. And they ate every meal. Man, that's power. And it all started this night. That Exodus chapter 12, talking about the power of that blood and what that blood could do. The second thing that I get in meditation is the blood deals with our failures and our weaknesses. And that tells me a whole lot. So you don't have to hide your weaknesses or your failures from the blood. Because that's what the blood does. Deals with failures and weaknesses. So whatever it is that you feel that is weak during these 21 days, you expose it to that blood. Man, I tell you what, you just do this to it a bunch. Or you do this. You just pour it on it. I'm going to pour that on that weakness. I'm tired of that in my life. I'm going to saturate that with the blood of Jesus. I'm just going to saturate with the power of that blood. Somebody said, you think that's doing something? Not for you, because you don't believe it. Does everything for me. Because my faith believes it in the power of that blood. Amen? So the third thing is, it said the blood works from within to the outside. The blood is spirit. The blood is spirit. So it works from the inside out. So that means the power of that blood is working the strongest when you don't see anything happening. But that's when it's working the strongest. like right now tonight, Nita, I claim by faith that that blood is working within your throat area, working in your chest cavity, that that blood is eradicating anything that's unlike Jesus in you for the glory of God. I just sprinkle you good with that blood, girl. Amen. And we, so we release our faith in that, that the blood works is working. So your faith is in, it's always working. That blood's working. See, life is in the blood. So right now, inside me, no matter what I would feel out here, life is working in there. Life is working. Surely in your shoulder, that blood is working. Man, I can almost see that. Because I'm saying, I can almost see that blood working around that, that metal shoulder area. And I can see that blood building muscle and uniting tissue and bringing glory there. I tell you what, my prayer times are not boring. I see stuff. I believe stuff. I pray stuff over you. I love the meditation of the power that comes by the Spirit. All right, the fourth thing. Applying the blood in prayer prepares the heart for a visitation from God. It prepares a heart. In the tabernacle, they would take the blood. You remember what happened? They took the blood and they poured it out. What came and consumed it? The fire of God. The presence of God is strong to His blood. So if you're wanting the presence of God on somebody's life or in somebody's life in a unique way in somebody's life, then every day you apply that blood over their life, into their life. Man, it's just like a magnet. Man, it's just like a magnet. God can't stay away from it. God is strong. He's strong to that blood. Wherever you, that's why healing comes by the blood, and that's why deliverance comes by the blood. That's why so many want provision comes by the blood, because God is strong to that blood. His presence is strong. Man, when you just begin to, Lord, say, I just plead the blood, man, God's just strong. I tell you what, if you're having a boring prayer time, you just begin to declare the power of the blood, and God is drawn into you. He's just drawn into your prayer time. He just comes there. He becomes that huge hoopah that the Bible says that in the book of Psalms, that it's this covering that begins to come over us as we begin to meditate on the powerful things of God. And then it just becomes, it settles in, it just becomes an umbrella of protection over our lives for the glory of God. Amen. That happens as you begin to just meditate and allow the Holy Spirit to just take that and allow the Holy Spirit to expand it into every arena of our life. So it prepares a heart. I tell you, I literally see this so many times. As people that I'm praying for, I begin to sprinkle that blood. And literally, I can just see God come, God come, God come, God come. Sometime in services, I will do that. I'll sprinkle that blood on you. You don't know it. You're sitting back there and you're kind of deadhead. And I'll sprinkle that blood on you. I'll say, God will come. And all of a sudden, those little paws will go up there, you know. Because God's drawn to that blood, man. He's drawn to that blood. He can't stay away from 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 that blood, man. He comes for that blood. The fire comes. The fire of God comes. And that's so precious about the blood draws the fire, see? That fire comes and intensifies. That the fire of God, first it begins to burn out everything that's not like Jesus. Fire is the sanctifier. And as you begin to apply that blood and the presence of God, then it begins to come into that life and begins to burn out. In my life, in your life. No, that's right. See, it's God that's going to do it. He's the sanctifier. Holy Spirit is the sanctifying work that God's going to, that releases that inside my life. So as I begin to apply that blood and the presence of God, then it begins to draw. The fire of God begins to come in there. And then it begins to eradicate, burn away everything that's not like Jesus. And things that you love, you begin to hate. And hang things that you used to hate, you begin to love. Because everything that's not like Jesus is going to begin to burn out of us. Out of us. Because God can't stay away from that blood. Amen. And then that blood, then that fire of God, then it begins to empower. It begins to empower you. Man, I tell you what. Great generators, great fire, great moving, the great power of God in you. I mean, there is a fire that the prophet said that shut up in my bones. There is a fire of God as we begin to apply the blood of Jesus over people's lives, over our own lives, over those you love. The fire of God begins. See, if you don't believe it, nothing will happen. But if you believe it, everything will happen. If you allow the Holy Spirit to come and work with that, then the fire of God begins to burn. And then it first begins to burn away everything that's not like Jesus. Then it begins to build power. And then, before you know it, then it begins to break out and become a wall of fire that surrounds you, that forms a protective care and a protective coating around your life for the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what, the devil may be a rascal, but he can't get through God's wall of fire that surrounds you. Amen? So we just begin to release our faith more and more. And then, number five, the blood becomes the catalyst for change. Boy, when we apply that blood of Jesus, plead the blood or apply the blood, it becomes the catalyst for change and a deeper awakening in us. I love what it says about the blood. It says it redeems the soul. See, our souls need to be woke up, man. We need a new awakening. We need to be woke up. And people that we love need to be woke up. And people that we're praying for need to be woke up. See, so what happens then as we pray that blood, it begins to do a sanctification work in their soul and literally begins to bring about a change. Because see, that's where our problems are. It's usually not in a person's spirit. We try to say it is. We say, oh, they're through and through. No, they're not through and through. That's usually a pretty thin coat where they're wrong. But because it's in that soulish area. That's where people have difficulties. That's where we have all of our insecurities. That's where we have all of inferiorities. That's where we have all of our fears. And boy, I tell you, last night I had a nightmare you wouldn't believe. Man, I woke up 4:30 this morning. I was so thankful that wasn't real. Because when you go to fasting, where's the first place the Holy Spirit leads you? Where does He lead you first place? You know, Luke chapter 3, verse 39 says that after he was baptized, Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know you're getting good on a fast when the devil starts fighting you, honey. Amen. When the enemy starts trying to fight against you, you know, man, you're getting close to this. You're close to this. That's the first place Jesus was led. The first place he was led. He wasn't led to a banquet. He was led to fight. He was led to fight. The very first place that he was led by the Spirit of God was in confrontation with the enemy. I'm going to tell you what. That's where it is in our lives too. The Spirit of the Lord wants to lead us into some confrontation. The Holy Spirit has two major places He wants us to win. The first place God wants me to win is in that arena that I've been talking about tonight, in that soulish area where that the blood is so powerful, able to redeem my soul, able to change my soul, able to rework my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. God is so powerful there. And what we fail to realize is that the first step to any battle is with our own flesh. And then the second step to any battle is the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, spiritual weakness in high places. But if I never allow the Holy Spirit to win it here, I'll never have the opportunity really to win it here. Now, this is my problem. But this is our problem. You understand what I'm saying? That forces of darkness that are in that heavenly realm, that's fighting, that's standing, that's bringing sicknesses and diseases and problems and difficulties and raining havoc on man, That's where I really want to get to. But if you never let God heal it there on this level, if you never let God win here, the Bible says that flesh is warring against that spirit's warring against the first war the Holy Spirit leads me to is that battle right there. But if I never let God win that one, I'm going to tell you what, there's a real battle that we're engaged in even at this time. We're talking about exposing. One of the major things God wants to expose is what the enemy is doing to our thinking. Do not, two warnings. Do not let the enemy make you hard. Do not let him make you hard at anybody or at anything. That's his goal. The goal of the enemy is in this season is to make you hard so God's blessings will not be able to stay on you. The other warning is stay soft. Whatever it is, whoever it is, wherever it is, stay soft. Do not let the enemy make you hard. And the enemy is setting a lot of people up. But this is a time of warfare, but it's a time of testing. That's what these 21 days are all about. Led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. See? It's a test. Whatever's happening in your life now, I know you think it's about a lot of other people, but it's not. It's about me, or it's about you. That's what it's about. How afraid are you? How much can you trust God? How much will it take to push you into the flesh? It's a test time. If you would just hold true, you don't have to be right. You just got to stay tender. Got to stay soft. You don't have to be right. You can be right and really be wrong. But you got to stay soft. Because what God wants to do in your life is so good. It's demanding us to be soft.